I'm actually going to try something today that I never have tried before, and I'm actually going to intermingle some scriptures. It may be a little difficult to follow, and I pray that you'll be able to track with me. It's actually not that hard, but it may feel like I'm going in multiple directions, but I'm not, I promise. It all fits together. So the title of the message here is called, Do You Hear? And the whole sermon is coming out of Matthew chapter 13. The particular verses are up there. And I just want to mention the fact that it's very obvious today that even back in the days when and before Jesus showed up on the scene to actually walk this earth, the Jews were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king. The Jews had been oppressed for hundreds of years. Always someone that seemed to be oppressing them somehow. And now it was the time of the Romans. The Roman soldiers had come in and they had conquered the area and quite a huge amount of area. And they were essentially slaves. But they were definitely oppressed. They had certain amounts of freedom. But what they did understand was that this Messiah that they were looking for was going to be their king. And their idea behind this Messiah was that he was going to rescue them from all oppression and save them. And so it's true. But then Jesus showed up. And all the signs of who the Messiah was pointed toward Jesus. But they didn't understand. And it was very difficult for them, and in fact, they outright rejected Jesus, to grasp hold that he possibly could be the Messiah they were looking for. The problem is he didn't fit their idea of a Messiah. And I think some days we don't think Jesus fits our idea of a Savior. We want him to come and just rescue us from all of our problems and just help us out, even though we ourselves, we know we're sinners. But that Jesus will rescue you. He will save you. Maybe not in the way you think. We still may have to go through difficult times. And that's just the way the world is right now. Until that day, that final day. And I love that song. This is what heaven means to me. Because when I think of heaven, I think that all of these troubles are gone. It's difficult for many of us here today because we have loved ones who are hurting, loved ones who are sick, others who are coming to the end of their journey. And it's heartbreaking, it's heart-wrenching for us to see that progress beginning to get to that point. And we're concerned. It bothers us. So we look to the Scriptures. The Scriptures give me comfort. I hope they give you comfort. But what we're going to do is discuss this idea of hearing, of listening. You realize that right now, this moment, that there are thousands upon thousands of sermons being preached. And I wonder how many people hear those sermons. Oh, they listen. They listen. Sometimes when Rhonda, bless her heart, when she's talking to me and she's telling me things, it reaches a point to where it's like that Charlie Brown voice. Wah, 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 wah. I'm listening, but I didn't hear what she's telling me. That happens up too often, and probably I wouldn't, well, she's probably watching right now, but the thing is, I wouldn't tell her this in person, but if she just popped me on the head, that'd get my attention real quick, and then the want, want, want would actually turn into real words. But people all over this country, all over this world are listening to the sermons right now. But are they really hearing? So anyway, I want to go through one of Jesus' parables. And before you tune out, don't tune out because we all think I know that parable. Yeah, that's familiar to me. I know what it means. Let's explore that. Let's see if there's any nuggets we can pull from that. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take a set of scriptures that you would normally read in a linear fashion, go from this verse 24 to verse 30, and then later 36 to 43, but I'm going to mix it up. And Michael, you need to stay sharp up there because I've got them in order. But here we go. Let's jump into our scripture. Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. This actually comes later of the parable, and here's what you got to understand. Parables are stories. Jesus tells stories. They have a point. They're important because they have a point. I don't know, have you ever heard people, they'll tell you, sometimes it's a funny story or what, but when they get to the end, they'll say, the moral of this story, and then you have a point. Okay, I was trying to think of and look for a humorous moral of the story, but everyone that I kept finding during my searches were not really clean and appropriate enough to do in here. So I'm just going to skip that part, but tell you that there's always a moral at the end of the story. So the disciples had no idea what this parable means. A lot of us don't. And so when Jesus sent the multitude away and he went into the house, his disciples came unto him and saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Tell us, Lord, tell us, Jesus, what this means. Now they heard it. Just like everybody else, they heard it. But the Lord is going to show them something that maybe they didn't hear. They heard, but they didn't really hear, didn't really listen. So verse 24, remember I'm jumping around. This is the parable. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Notice the words I got highlighted up there. Okay, there's a man. There's good seed. That's what he did. He sowed. He sowed good seed in his field. Now, further down the chapter, Jesus interprets this parable for us. Unfortunately for them, they didn't get this benefit. But you and I do, because the disciples asked the question and it got written down. So now I'm going to jump ahead. What does this mean? Well, Jesus interprets it for us in verse 37. He says, and he answered and he said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So this man we're talking about who went out and he sowed good seed, we know, is Jesus Christ. That's the Son of Man. That's who he's talking about. Now, some of these scriptures are broken up into pieces, so bear with me, you're going to see the number up there multiple times, but I'll tell you this one is what's called verse 38a. It's the first half. So let's go to the next scripture. And the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. So think about what Jesus is talking about. He's going through a story here. He's already told the story. And the disciples want to know, what in the world does that mean? They're confused. Okay, so we already know there's a man. We know it's Jesus. That's the Son of Man. We already know there's a field. That's the world. We already know that the good seed are the children of God. I hope everybody in here is a good seed. I do. But we'll find out in a moment you can't tell. Or you can't always tell. You can't always tell. So we got the sower as Jesus, the good seed as the children of the kingdom, and the field as the world. Verse 25, we're backing up again. But while men slept, his enemy came and he sowed tares. By the way, the tares is the bad seed. Among the wheat, which we know is the good seed. And then this enemy went his way. Okay, that's verse 25. So now let's show the second half of verse 38. Please, track with me here. Jesus interprets the tares as the children of the wicked one. Now think, where did the enemy sow the tares? We know it's in the world, but he sowed them among the wheat, the good seed. You. You. we may have tares in here. Again, I hope not. I hope all of you are good seed. But you could be child of the wicked one. That's what tares are. And then I wrote down in my notes, this is God's children mixed with wicked children. This is God's children mixed with wicked children. Verse 26, and we're going to go through these kind of quick. But this is what's interesting. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared also the tares also. I think I double also. Then appeared the tares also. I want to show you a picture of the tares, wheat and tares. Now, I'm no farmer. But when I look at this, I probably couldn't tell the difference. I think you'd have to be pretty good to be able to tell the difference. But what we got to think about, the previous scripture that we just showed, it said, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit. This is when you're getting ready to actually use the wheat. Okay? And what's happened is this enemy has sowed the children of the wicked one amongst the wheat. And he's using this farming metaphor. And so verse 27, and like I said, I'm not a farmer. I can't tell the difference. But verse 27 says, and so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? And from whence then hath it tares? Why do we now see tares? Surely farmers know the difference. The interesting thing about what we call tares, one of the official names is called darnel, and darnel is like a weed. But the problem with this particular weed is it looks like wheat. And you sow it. It looks just like wheat when it first comes up. Just like everybody in church. Oh, maybe we have a great revival, and everybody in church, they look all the same. They look holy. They look saved. They look like a child of God, a child of the kingdom. I hope everybody in here is a good seed. I do. Unfortunately, we can't tell the difference. Not yet. And so the servants, that's us. The servants, we're the servant of the man who's sowing, that's Jesus. So the servants say, Lord, do you want us to, or first of all, they say, didn't you sow this good seed? Let's go to the next verse. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 28, he told them, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, well, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? That's like me asking people in here, hey, figure out who the bad seed is and let's get rid of them. You're not qualified. I'm not qualified. I hope everybody in here is a good seed. But that's what they're saying. The servants are saying, do you want us to gather up the tares? We can tell the difference, they say. And we'll get rid of them. We'll get rid of them. But first of all, this enemy, we know who it is, but let's read the next verse. Verse 39, Jesus interprets this. He says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. I've actually heard people say, devil don't go to church. Well, I beg to differ. I do. In fact, Scripture tells it. There actually was a case where, and I want to say it might have been the woman who had the stooped over back. She was stooped. She couldn't straighten up. And I felt so sorry. Aaron has told me that sometimes at her practice, there at the practice, there are patients who come in and they just cannot straighten up. They walk like this. And in my mind, I would love for somebody to touch someone and said, thou art loosed, just like Jesus did. Well, there was a day when Jesus went to synagogue and he saw such a woman. She couldn't straighten up. And it kind of surprised, I think, the people in the synagogue, because Jesus, I don't know if he touched her or not. I think he might have, in my mind, that's how I see it happening, but He says, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And immediately she straightened up. And he told them that Satan had bound her. Satan had done it. I don't know quite how that works, but I do believe that Satan does put things on people. And we need other people full of the Holy Spirit who can touch and lay hands and say, "Thou art loosed," or "Thou art free from this infirmity." Oh, how I would love to see that. I'd love to participate in that. And you might say, "Well, how do you know you can do it?" Try it. Try it. One thing I have actually started, when somebody asks me, "Hey, pray for me," or "pray for whatever," I don't like to walk away and say, "Oh, I'll pray for you, brother or sister or whoever." I like to do it right then. Let's not put it off. Because sometimes the Lord might, there might be a miracle waiting to happen if you would just simply obey. Okay? I'm not saying every time you do it, a miracle is going to happen, but it might be that moment. Try it. If somebody says, "I don't feel good," or "This is hurting me," or "This situation is bothering me, pray for me, please." Do it right then. And if it's a healing, tell them, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, be healed." You don't have to pray some long, long prayer. Just say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus," or whatever the situation may be. Try it. You may be surprised. God may do wonderful things in you. But Jesus tells us there's this enemy. We know who he is. He's the devil. He is sowing tares. These are children of the wicked one amongst the children of the wheat, children of the kingdom. A mix of God's children and the devil's children. It's a mix. So many people, even in churches, dare I say, so many people have fallen for the devil's deceitfulness. So many church people have fallen for the devil's lies. You don't believe me? Look, they're beginning to now bless a group of people who have no idea that this, you know who I'm talking about. I'll just come right out and say it. Facebook may stop me for this. Churches are now blessing homosexuality. Methodists, the denomination, has to keep voting year after year after year whether or not to allow homosexual preachers and whatnot. It's an abomination unto the Lord, but at the same time, they are accepting it. And sometimes it barely passes against. But it's inching every way, ever so closely. Yes, we believe the enemy's lies. So let's go now to this verse 29. This is actually what I call the church age. This is where we are now. We are in this age to where the tares, the darnel, the bad seed is growing up amongst the good seed. And I hope everybody in here is a good seed. I really do. But he said, this is Jesus, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." You can destroy the good seed because you don't know what you're doing. I don't know how to recognize these tares, and of course, I'm not qualified. You're not qualified. But the thing is, he's saying here, no, let them grow up together. I believe there's actually mercy in that statement. Think for a moment, if we have any tares, any of Satan's children of the devil, children of the wicked one in this church, wouldn't it be merciful for them to have one more chance to hear the gospel and convert and repent? Oh, that would be so good. That would be so good. So, but let them grow up together. Because if you try to do it now, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have problems. But look at verse 30. Verse 30 tells us, he says, let both grow together until, there's coming a point, folks, there's coming a point, until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat. What's the wheat? That's the good seed. That's the children of the kingdom. Into my barn. Into his house. The Lord will gather. Well, actually, he will send reapers. So disciples are asking, hey, Jesus, tell us what this means. Declare this unto us. Tell us. What does all this mean? So now we're going to jump ahead again to verse, I think it's 39. Jesus interprets his own words. He says, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Remember at the very beginning, Jesus is telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, what he's telling us about this portion of the kingdom of heaven is how it's going to end. How it's going to end. It's going to end at a point in time, and it's going to be the end of the world. Here, he refers to it as a harvest. And then he's going to issue a command, and that command is the angels. The reapers are going to go out, and they're going to reap the harvest. This is at the end of the age, the end of the church age. Folks, while the church age is still going on, we have opportunities. We have time to convert, to give our heart to Christ, to follow him, to devote ourselves more and more, day by day. We actually listened to an interesting sermon last week, and he had a very good line that I'm sort of adopting on my own. You don't have to do everything at once. Progress, not perfection. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But hopefully you're making progress every day. Every day. Oh, you know, you may say, well, yeah, I stumbled again. Well, the Apostle John wrote in his letter, he said, you know what? He's faithful and just. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Now, we quote that scripture, but we forget the first part that John said. He said, I'm writing this so that ye sin not. Obviously, nobody should be out here sinning. We don't have a license to sin. But John says, but if you do, confess it, because he's faithful and just. I actually heard a song on the way down this morning. The song was saying, God, don't leave me alone, and God, don't let me go. You know, that's something we need to say. Tell him every once in a while. Just say, Lord, help me. Don't let me go. Don't leave me by myself. He won't. But sometimes we feel that way. But he won't do that. So now I want to wrap up with these other scriptures, because what he's telling us, what Jesus is telling us, is that we are all forced to live together, the good and the bad seed. And I hope we're all good seeds. So next verse here. Now Jesus is wrapping up what this whole parable means. Remember, I said the moral of the story is, okay, he says here, and as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. We already know tares are the children are the wicked one. And we know the harvest is the end of the world. So verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Where? Out of his kingdom. They're growing up together with us, folks. We're all one big family. Notice I didn't say happy. We're all one big family. In his kingdom. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. That means sin. All things that are that offend, and them which do iniquity. You realize there's other scriptures in the Bible that there's going to be a group of people at some point in time, and I believe it's at this harvest, that they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And they're going to go on and on and on and say all the things that they did in Jesus' name. What's he going to say? Now, first of all, when they say all this, I don't know if they're lying or I don't know if they're trying to tell the truth, but who knows? What I do know is Jesus says, depart from me. Here, they're going to be gathered up. Because he said, I don't know you. I never knew you. Oh, what words to hear at the end of the age, is for Jesus to say, I never knew you. That's why I hope everybody here is in good seed, because I would love for Jesus to tell all of us when our day comes, when at this time of the harvest, that he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Oh my, that's what heaven means to me. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. So verse 42. These are the reapers, by the way, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what wailing is, right? That's where you're just, and you're wailing loud. Gnashing of teeth, biting. Why? Painful. Awfulness. What does this place sound like to you? Sounds like hell to me. It sounds like hell. It's going to be an awful, awful place. But think about it. He's telling a parable about we're all together. Good seed and bad seed. Okay, you might think, well, Earl, you're focusing too much on the church. They're outside. No, not always. No, not always. Sometimes they're here, one, to try to disrupt, to try to divide, or cause issues. Paul was writing letters all the time about people who have division. He was constantly saying, be of one mind. That don't mean to think the same. That means to have the same purpose. The same purpose, to be going in the same direction. Now, sometimes we can disagree on how you physically accomplish that direction, but you got to have the same purpose. What's our purpose? To go out into all the world and do what? Make disciples. That's our purpose. And verse 43. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. That's the bottom line. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. You may be listening today. A lot of people may be listening on Facebook Live. Thousands and thousands of sermons are being preached. And people are listening. But do they hear? Do they hear? Are you hearing what Jesus is telling us? Folks, there's going to be a time when there's going to be the end of the age, the end of all things. By then, it's too late. I don't know how fast it'll happen. Will you see the angels coming to sort out the tares, the bad seed, and the good seed? I hope everybody in here is a good seed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this parable. It has a powerful moral of the story message. Basically, if we don't give in to you, Lord, there's coming a point in time to where it'll be too late. May your Holy Spirit this morning descend upon each and every one of us. Open our hearts, open our eyes and our ears, that not only do we listen to your words, but that we hear what you say. I ask these favors in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.